Now take your Bible and turn to 1 John chapter 2. I want you to take note tonight. We're just going to look at a few verses. Chapter 2, verse 6 through 14. Let me read it with you. We're going to read some of it. I want you to notice what it says. But he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So he said, look, if you say you abide in Christ, if you say you're a Christian and you're trying to do what's right, then you ought to walk like Jesus walked. Notice, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you heard from the beginning. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. So he said, I'm giving you some new old commandment. I'm just reminding you of it. Walk like Jesus walked. But notice the new commandment. Verse 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. Jesus has come, the light is shining, so I'm going to give you a new commandment. Notice verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There's the new commandment. You love your brother like Jesus loved you. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. So the idea is this new commandment is love like Jesus loves. It's not just be good to your neighbor, be kind to your neighbor, but love them like Jesus loved you. Well, that's a new commandment because Jesus had just died for all of them in this passage, and he's the example now. And so the commandment was in the Old Testament, but now it's in the New Testament, and it says you do what you do because of Jesus Christ being your example. That's what makes it new. There was not an example in the Old Testament, but now there's one in the New Testament. Now, notice if you would, verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You don't trip up your neighbor. You don't cause someone to say, well, he's a hypocrite, when you love your brother, when you're being good to him, because you're abiding in the light. Now, notice verse 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. We're going to look at the blindness in just a minute. Verse 12. And you're going to notice there are three different groups of people here. We'll end with this in the outline tonight. Three different groups. I write unto you, little children, number one, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Notice number two, verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. So you got little children, you got fathers. Now keep reading. And I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. Verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. That's a repeat. And notice verse 14, I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So there's three groups of people, fathers, young men, and little children. We're going to look at that at the very last part of the outline. Take your outline tonight. Let me give you number one. If we say we are abiding, that's living in Christ, we should walk like Christ walked. Okay? Notice verse 6. He that saith, he abideth in him. Now understand, 1 John is about walking the walk. It's not just talking the talk, it's walking the walk. A lot of people say, well, I'm a Christian, but they don't go to church. Well, I'm a Christian, but they don't pray much. Well, I'm a Christian, but they'll curse a little bit, but I'm a Christian. They could be. There are a lot of children that are very disobedient to their parents, but they're still their parents. And they're still children of their parents. And so tonight, the Father's not going to kick us out because we don't do what's right, even if we don't try to do what's right. But we're just ashamed to him. That's what 1 John chapter 2, 28, that when we see him, we would not be ashamed at his coming. We're always going to be his children. But he's trying to get us to walk in light and not in darkness. There's several things about darkness that are bad. We'll look at it in a minute. Notice A in the outline. We must be aware how we live because others are watching. One of the ways that we walk like Christ is we're aware of the way we're walking. Jesus Christ was always the same as he walked. When he was exhausted and tired, he was still looking to be a witness to souls. He was still looking to try to be an encouragement to people. When he's walking down the road, all of a sudden he sees a blind man or a leper. He's still trying to be a blessing, and he heals the leper. He heals the blind man. He's always looking to be a good to somebody. We should be the same way. Notice, if you would, be in the outline. We must identify the ways Christ walked. So before you can walk like Christ, you got to know, how did he walk? Well, number one, he was kind. So we all need to have a kindness about us that's Christ-like. Two, he was better to others than they were to him. Now, we know that for a fact. And so we should be better to others than they are to us. Are we? We ought to treat others better than they treat us. Our goal is to represent Christ. And so I want to walk like Christ walked. Notice, if you would, number three, he did right always. One of the characteristics of Jesus Christ was when he was standing before Caiaphas, he says, look, can anybody tell me something he did wrong? And there was no one could speak up. All of them were liars, and they could tell it. They were making up stories. That's reading 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God had made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. So our goal should be right, doing right always. Every husband in this room, always doing right. Every wife, always doing right. Your children can look at you and say, I want to be like mom. I want to be like dad. This is family month. The best testimonies in the world are Christians that do right consistently, all the time. When other people aren't good to them, they're better to them than they are to the Christian. And so a child can see when somebody's really being good. The Bible says even a child is known by his doings. So if a child has a testimony, certainly a parent does, and a grandparent does. Now notice, if you would, in the outline C, we ought to walk like Christ because he has redeemed us. Look, none of us would be going to heaven tonight if Jesus Christ hadn't forgiven us of our sin. If he hadn't died on the cross and taken his blood and used it to wash away our sin. He redeemed us. He bought us out of a place called hell because he's loved us. He's better to us than we could ever be to him. And so one of the reasons we ought to walk right is because he's redeemed us. Notice, doing right is even expected by the world as they watch Christians' lives. Someone says he's a Christian and the world expects things of you. They expect you to be honest, and they expect you to tell the truth, and they expect you to be good to other people. They expect you to be kind because you're a Christian. Christian means Christ-like. And so you and I have to always keep in the back of our mind, are we walking in light or are we walking in darkness? Darkness represents Satan. So if we get bitter feelings, if we give somebody a piece of our mind, if we get upset with someone, if we maybe use a choice word every once in a while, and the world hears it, they say, well, he must not be a Christian. Do you remember when they came to Peter and they said to him, you were with that man, you were with Jesus. And he said, no, I wasn't. The third time he began to curse and to swear, and they left him alone. Why? Because Christians don't do that. And so you and I have to learn to be careful. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Colossians 4. So everybody in this room, we have to learn, how did Jesus walk? Jesus never cursed anybody out. And so you and I have to have the same kind of kindness and grace that the Lord Jesus had. Notice, if you would, D in the outline. To walk right is not a new commandment. He said, I'm writing to you not a new commandment. Doing what's right's always been what God has wanted in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, it's just that the example is different. Now walk right like Christ. He's the light of the world. Notice, if you would, Roman numeral 2. Christ has given us a new commandment. If we hate our brother, we are in darkness. That new commandment is, look, we want to do what's right. Matter of fact, I'd like for you to take and learn what this new commandment is. Take your Bible and turn to John 13. Look at John. Now keep in mind, John wrote 1 John and John wrote St. John. So look at John, if you would, 13, verse 34, and you'll see this new commandment. Now follow with me. John 13, 34. Now watch this. A new commandment I give unto you, John 13, 34, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's the new commandment. Jesus Christ is now the example. His love is now the standard. And that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. By what? If you love one to another. So the idea is that everybody in this room, if you're going to follow the new commandment of Christ, and that's what he's talking about in verse 8, again, a new commandment I wrote unto you. And that is that you love like Christ loved you. Like Christ loves. It's a forgiving love. It's a kind love. It's a sacrificial love. And he says, I write a new commandment unto you. The standard is Jesus Christ. How are husbands supposed to love their wives? What's that? As Christ loved the church. I'm struggling with that. I want to love Janet with all my heart, over the moon, to the moon and back. You name all the different things you can think of. That's why I want to love her. But I want to love her like Christ loved the church. That's me. That's a sacrificial love. I'll do anything to take care of the church. I'll do anything to take care of her. It's a love that doesn't think about me. It only thinks about her. And so the standard now in the New Testament, John says, is now the love of Christ. His love is the standard. That's the new commandment. And so he said, if you hate your brother, you're not anywhere close to the new commandment. Notice, if you would, A in the outline, Roman numeral 2, A, we must be careful of having bad feelings toward others. That's reading he said in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 9, he says this, he that saith is in the light and hateth his brothers in darkness, even until now. You and I can't walk in darkness and abide in Christ. So there are Christians that say, well, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord, but I don't like him. That's talking out of both sides of your mouth. That's what he's saying here. I'm giving you a new commandment. You can have no enemies. You do good to those that mistreat you. And 1 Peter, we read it tonight, chapter 3, we specifically said it, that we endure grief and suffer wrongfully because we love Jesus Christ. That means you have no enemies. Love your enemies. That's what the scripture says in Matthew 5. So it's important that you and I learn to be careful that we don't let something get stuck in our heart, a grudge. How many of you has someone ever done something to you that hurt you? Wasn't right. Raise your hand. That should be everybody in this room. Now, what was your response? Is your response is, I'm not going to talk to her again. I'm going to avoid them. I don't like them. All wrong responses. You see, the Lord wants you and I to have the response, I'm going to pray for those that despitefully use you. Matthew 5, verse 40s, in the 40s. Pray for those that despitefully use you. The Christian life, John is trying to get people to understand that, look, this new commandment raises the level of love for every one of us, for our brothers, for our sisters, for the world. Now, when we say love for the world, love for the people of the world that are not lovable, it raises the level, as Jesus loved them. When Stephen was stoned, falling down, he said, "Father, forgive them." I believe the Apostle Paul, as Saul, who's holding the coats of those people that stoned Stephen, couldn't get that out of his mind. And when Jesus came in Acts chapter 9, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." He realized, oh, I was a part of killing Stephen. But I heard him say, "Lay not this sin to their charge. Lord, don't hold it against them." I don't think Saul ever got away from seeing Stephen die because he was living by this new commandment. This would take care of all of our issues in our homes. This would take care of all the issues at our workplace. This would take care of all the issues between brothers and sisters that don't talk to each other. If we could just learn to live by this new commandment, as Jesus' love is the standard. Notice, if you would, in the outline, we must walk in the light, and we will not give an occasion to stumble to others. In verse 10, he says, "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light." So if you understand, he's saying that if you're going to abide in Christ, you're going to abide in the light, and you're going to live in the light, you're not going to be able to lay down any stumbling blocks for anybody. You can't say the wrong word without apologizing for it. You can't have the wrong attitude because you'll lay down the stumbling block. How many of you have ever heard someone say, "I'd go to church, but there's a bunch of hypocrites in the church"? Raise your hand. Okay, that's somebody not living in the light that saw somebody not living in the light was a Christian, and they laid a stumbling block down for somebody. Maybe they told a dirty joke. Maybe they talked bad about their boss. You can't do those things and walk in the light. You don't, not even realizing it, acting like the world will lay a stumbling block down that will trip somebody and they won't want Christ. We have to be careful of that. The Lord Jesus, and that's why I want everybody to understand the theme this year is loving Him more. 1 John is about how to do that. It's learning to obey the Lord because you love Him and you're trying to please Him. You're not just doing the law. You're not just keeping commandments. Don't do this and don't do that. But you're trying to find ways that you can please the Lord. If I shouldn't say this, maybe I could say that and that would be better. You're trying to please the Lord. So there's a different level that this new commandment provides for all of us. If we could somehow demonstrate this new commandment to our children and grandchildren, it could change our church. It could change our society, because nobody lives like this. I'll treat you like you treat me. If you treat me bad, I'll treat you worse. But that's not this new commandment. It's to love your brother, and this brother is not a Christian brother. It's love another person in this world, a brother or sister. Now, notice with me if you would. He said in the outline, see, what does it mean to love your brother? Loving others is a big part of our testimony. Having an attitude that you care about other people, it's a part of our testimony. Notice, one, it is a new commandment from God to love like Christ. That is the new commandment. If I ask tonight, how many Christians know what the new commandment in the scriptures is, there wouldn't be anybody raise their hand and say, "I know what it is." Oh, I know. It's simply that we love others like Christ. He told us to love your enemies, but now He's telling us to love your enemies like Christ. So you and I would say, "Well, you know, I don't know how you love your enemy." Well, like Christ did. Oh, that changes everything. And so for a Christian, you are not trying to obey the laws of Scripture, and you say, I tried this, and I'm trying that. I'm really working at it, but it's so frustrating. Look, he said, I want you to obey me, and the commandments are not grievous. I don't want them to be hard work for you. I want you to get to the point where you're really trying to please me. Look, I don't want to just do what my wife says. When I come into the house, she says, hey, honey, would you take the trash out? She might tell me that, but I want to come in and try to remember that. So she didn't have to say, take the trash out. Now, she'll put the trash in the certain spot in the house, and I'll walk by, I'll get it and take it out. I'm trying to keep her from having to say it. So I could say, well, you know, she tells me all the time, take the trash out. Okay, I'll do it. That's one way. But that's not the love of God. The love of God is trying to say, how can I please her? How can I do something before she even mentions it? How can I think like she thinks and one-up her? That's the love of God. He wants you to think like he thinks and one-up your brother. Notice, if you would. Two, it means to put others before yourself. This new commandment is to put others before yourself. It's not just obeying the Scriptures. It's taking an enemy and loving him. Trying to love him to Christ. That's new. Notice, if you would. Three, we must also be aware of how we treat others. How many of you have ever hurt somebody's feelings and didn't even know it? How many of you said something and didn't realize it? I have. A part of the love of Christ is knowing what you do and being aware of it. If I'm not aware of the way I treat somebody sometimes, I might say something and never go back and apologize because I'm not even aware of it. Ignorance is no excuse of the law. Well, being ignorant, just doing your own self, is not doing the obedience to the Lord. It's you are trying to be aware of what you do, how you treat people, how you talk about to people. How many of you have ever been accused of maybe talking too loud or maybe yelling? You weren't yelling, but you were overly excited. I remember being a soccer coach. We're in the state championship soccer game, and the defense is nothing. It's 8 minutes left in the game, and the ball's coming down the right side, and I said, Johnny, get it! Kick it to Bobby! You know, you're trying to get them to think, and somebody says, man, he's yelling at the kids. Okay, Bobby, try to kick it. You're just trying to figure out how you can do the right thing. So you know what I did? I changed coaching tactics because it wasn't worth winning a state championship or losing a testimony. So if I needed to talk to somebody, I'd call timeout, bring them over, and talk to them. And then let the chips fall. Because testimony is more important than winning. When I learned that fundamental, well, we won the state championship. Because the Lord blesses when you do the right thing the right way. But it takes a long time to learn that. Notice, if you would, in the outline, look at C4. Forgiving others that hurt you is a part of loving others. Forgiving people, even if they don't ask. Now, we're required to forgive somebody when they ask you. But how good are you at forgiving somebody when they don't even ask? A, they don't know they did it. B, they did it on purpose and they won't ask for forgiveness. That's what the Pharisees did to Jesus. He hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they did. So Jesus Christ in his love is the example for all of us. Folks, tonight, I'm just telling you this. All of us in this room, with this new commandment of Scripture, we've got to elevate our walk in the Christian life so that we can live in the light and other people can see the light and say, wow, that's a Christian. That's what Jesus Christ wants for us. Now, notice if you would, number five, we must be good to people no matter how they treat us. That's reading, he says, in 1 Peter, we looked at it, you know, that we're good to those that are not good to us, that despitefully use us. We're Christians. We're going to rise above it. Notice with me, if you would, in the outline, D, if we hate others, it means we are in darkness. Now, I want to take just a minute. Number one, we hold things against others. There's a level of somebody does something to me and I hold it against them. I don't hate them. That's another level up, okay, or another level down. I hold something against somebody. And so when I see them at church, I just take the other aisle. I've got it against them, okay? I'm not mistreating them. I just got it against them. I just don't want to be close to them. Here at work, you see somebody that you don't like. They did something. They said something about you, made you look bad to the boss, so you hold it against them. And so you treat them differently. You're not trying to be mean to them. You just try to keep out of their way. It's holding against them. Well, notice if you would, number two, you can begin to hate them. If they do it again, now it piles on top of the grudge. It piles on top of the holding, and it becomes a grudge. They do it a third time, now I just can't stand that guy. It turns into bitterness, hatred. And he said, you're walking in darkness. So the idea is don't ever let it get to a grudge. Don't ever let it get to a hold. You just say, I'm going to love people no matter what they do to me. I'm going to bless those that despitefully use me. And let the Lord be the judge, and you can live a pretty comfortable life no matter what people do to you. Because you're living in the light. Notice if you would, D in the outline, number two, we expect more of them than ourselves. When you begin to hold something against somebody, you begin to expect more of them than do your own person. Notice three, we want them to hurt if they hurt us. If you hold anything towards somebody, if you've ever had the feeling, boy, I wish that they'd get caught. Boy, I'd like for them to hurt like I hurt. You're walking in darkness. Number one, that desire for them to hurt, I think if you'll look, Romans chapter 12, it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'll repay. We learn to turn it over to the Lord. It's a wonderful way to live. Somebody mistreats me, I try to give it over to the Lord and say, Lord, you take care of it. Would you defend me? And I would much rather have the great God of heaven to correct someone for my sake than I would try to get a police officer or somebody else, because he sees everything. He has every opportunity to make things right. Now, you and I may never see it. His point is, look, I'm not doing this for your sake. I'm doing this for their sake to get them to turn around and see light so they can be saved. Notice very quickly, D4, a large part of our darkness is that we can't see the eternal rewards we are losing while we are living in darkness. 2 John 8 says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, the things that we have done, but that we receive a full reward. We can do things that we think are good, but the Lord knows we did it with the wrong motive and idea, and we lose the reward. So he says, look to yourselves that you lose not that which you've wrought, but that you receive a full reward. Forgive people for Christ's sake. That's a full reward. Just to not hold it against somebody because that's the law, I don't think that's a reward. If it is, it might be bronze. It's not silver and it's not gold. The Lord is trying to say to you, look, I want you, when I see you, I call you to heaven. I want you to look at me and I want to have joy. And I don't want you to look down and be ashamed. That's the goal of Christ. It's for everyone in this room to hear the words, well done, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. You did a great job. You walked in light. That's what 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John are all about, is to help you and I live above the world. Notice, if you would, quickly, number three. There are three levels of Christians. Now, we talked about that as we read. There are three levels. A, there are little children. Now, these are new Christians in either time or spiritual growth. A new Christian, a young Christian, a little child, could be someone that just got saved a year or two ago. Or it could be somebody that had got saved 30 years ago and never grew. They're little children. They get offended easily. They don't handle things well. They're little children. Do you expect a third grader to act like a senior? No, because they're little children. But that can happen to spiritual people because they're not in a good church. They're not reading their Bible. They're not praying. They don't have an example. They're not growing in Christ. So they're little children. Notice B. Then there are young men. These have overcome Satan, are becoming stronger. Look at verse 13. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto young men because you have overcome the wicked one. They have victory in their Christian life. They used to curse. They don't do it anymore. They used to get bitter. They don't do it anymore. They're overcoming the wicked one. They used to pay people back, but they don't do it anymore. They pray for them. They're growing. They're young in Christ, but they're maturing in the Lord. And then you'll notice, see in the outline, there are fathers. They are mature Christians that walk in light and are close to the Lord. They know the Lord. Look, if you would. He says in verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You walk with him. You talk with him. You know him. And so we need some fathers. We need some young men that are growing into fathers. A father is someone that has produced a child or produced offspring. Well, it's important that we learn to reproduce ourselves spiritually. We want to be a witness and a testimony. We want to see people saved. But you have to be the kind of father. In this passage, it's not about reproducing yourself. It is about knowing the Lord. That's this father image. You look up to somebody, he knows the Lord. Notice D, let all of us walk at living in light and becoming stronger every day. My best friend in high school, his name was Travis Cumbus. He went to heaven this past year. He was a missionary for 20 years in Germany and pastored about 20-something years here in the States. He had eight children. I think four or five of them are in the ministry. One's in Africa, I think going to the Congo. One is a church secretary. He's got children all over. Sweet wife, Christy. His father was one of the deacons in our church. Every once in a while, the pastor would say, okay, Brother James, would you close in prayer? Brother Rob, would you close in prayer? Brother Gary, would you close in prayer? Well, anytime he called on Brother Cumbest, would you close in prayer? There was something happened in the room. It got real quiet because everybody wanted to hear him pray. It was like he knew the Lord, and you could tell it. He was a father, and he would say, oh, dear Lord, and man, you're looking around, where is he? I know he's here. I'm a lot older than I was as a teenager, but I still remember Brother Cumbus's prayers. And I said, Lord, I sure would be like that. where people look for you because they know I know you. It's important tonight to have some of you men in this room be fathers because you have known him. You walk with him. Tonight, I would remind you the author of this book was boiled in oil, apparently, and yet walked with the Lord on the Isle of Patmos, and on the Lord's day was looking for the Lord. And the Lord showed up and he saw him behind him and wrote the book of Revelation. Why? He was a father. He knew the Lord. I want our church to be full of these kind of men. Young men that have learned to say, I'm not going that way anymore. They've rejected Satan. Their lives are clean and pure. They're growing in Christ. And I'm looking so excited toward men that are fathers that somebody comes up to you and asks a question, they're going to get the right answer from this book. And they can see it in your life. Are you light tonight or darkness? Let's bow our heads for the prayer. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse, an invitation hymn. John wrote to the people, Christians, and I believe it was to those seven churches to say, look, we need some fathers. We need some people that walk in light. And those people swept the world with the gospel. Those that have turned the world upside down have come here also. Tonight, let's turn the world upside down with our light. Father, speak to heart tonight. I thank you for your love to us. I pray that you'd hear our prayers, Lord, as we lift them to you. In your name we pray. Amen.